The last time I was in India, it had all become a familiar scene. The rickshaws rumbling through busy bazaars. Shoppers haggling over everything from gemstones to silk saris. Pilgrims prostrating their way to salvation. And street food enhanced by locally sourced infectious pathogens. This time around, I knew the country had changed. I wanted to see the effects of 13 years of market reform and hypergrowth since my last visit. So I summoned an Uber, already something new, and I headed 15 miles south of my Delhi hotel. And as the crumbling roads of the capital city opened up into a 32-lane expressway, the old India that I thought I knew began to look like a thing of the past. I had arrived in the city of Gurgaon. It's hard to imagine, but 25 years ago, there was nothing here. No high-rises, no kitschy shopping malls with Vegas-like Trump Loy ceilings. No 27-hole Jack Nicklaus signature golf courses. Stretching all the way back to medieval times, Gurgaon was nothing more than a plot of rocky soil with a small marketplace and no railway link to the rest of the country. But Gurgaon had one enormous advantage over other Indian cities. It had no municipal government.
Most people did not even know Gurgaon existed 30 years ago. It was completely a farmland on the outskirts of Delhi.
Gurgaon was a sleepy, dusty, quiet town with lots of agricultural land that was barren.
It is K.P. Singh who started this company called DLF, and that company has pretty much single-handedly built the city.
When Delhi banned private real estate development in the 1950s, Kushal Pal Singh began buying land south of the city limits. His company, Delhi Land and Finance, offered cash and equity stakes to farmers in Gurgaon. Many of these cowherds became instant crorepatis, millionaires in the local lingo, while K.P. Singh would become the fifth richest man in India by the turn of the century.
Acquiring land is the biggest problem across the world, and governments use their eminent domain powers to acquire any large tract of land for any development. But here you have a case where whole city has been built, almost all, by acquiring land through voluntary transaction.
The province made it easier here to change agricultural land into commercial or residential or industrial land and set up factories.
Maruti was the first to arrive with an auto manufacturing plant in the 1980s. As India stepped back from socialism in the 1990s, foreign investment bypassed Delhi and poured straight into Gurgaon. When General Electric set up shop, hundreds of multinationals followed suit. Soon, Gurgaon was generating middle-class jobs by the hundreds of thousands. Today, it boasts an absurd 30% annual growth rate and the third highest per capita income in India.
Under the Shops and Establishments Act at that time, women could not work beyond 6 p.m. Now, once that law got changed in Haryana and very early, it allowed a lot of young women to start working in the service sector in Gurgaon, to work largely through the night because we were matching our times with times across the Atlantic and the Pacific. The first private developer was DLF, and DLF therefore took it upon itself to build roads in Gurgaon, to lay the sewage lines, to monitor law and order. DLF in a lot of ways set up its own security. Even now you will find that most of us here in Gurgaon hire our own security, and that is what keeps it largely crime-free.
While Gurgaon isn't actually crime-free, it doesn't lack for protection either. 35,000 private security guards keep a watchful eye on the city.
compared with only 3,000 public officers. So why do businesses flock to Gurgaon when taxpayers will pick up the bills elsewhere?
It's high cost to come here, hire your own security, build your own power plants, extract groundwater, have your own transportation. Gurgaon didn't have local transportation till a decade ago. So it is expensive. But look at the other side of the picture. It's high quality. Because there is high competition, there are a lot of private players, you have very high quality service.
Gurgaon's services and cleanliness are like nothing else I've seen in the country. India's only privately run metro system is fast, modern, and efficient. Employees compulsively sweep floors that already look spotless. It's unclear if Gurgaon's metro turns a profit, but as it increases the value of land owned by DLF and others, it may have already accomplished its mission. Over time, other developers have entered the market, competing with DLF and diluting its share of Gurgaon real estate. But as DLF remains the dominant provider of roads, utilities, security, even India's only private fire department, it raises the question of whether India's largest commercial real estate company is actually a private government.
We have not allowed them to become private government. They have been sort of a government within specific areas that they have developed. The common property, the public land, which they have to leave open for public infrastructure, obviously is not under their control.
In Gurgaon, it appears a little incongruous because you have these neighborhoods which are very high quality. And then you immediately step out and you see it all disappear.
Inside a compound of a colony, you will find great services, world-class standards. Right outside that gate, public services don't exist. So water connections are very poor. Sewerage lines are not done very well. It's, in a sense, a story of India, frankly, where the private initiative has been very successful, has created world-class standards and aspirations among the people, right? While the public sector has not been able to keep up with that.
The state was willing to do just enough to collect the high levels of revenue that a flourishing town like Gurgaon could provide them with, but was unwilling to invest any of that back into the city's infrastructure.
One simple way to assess success is, do people want to go there? Are people going to go there willingly, willing to settle there, open their businesses, invest large amounts of money in developing those areas? I think on all of those counts, Gurgaon has been fabulously successful.
While cities blossom and bloom like this, the flip side is that they will have a tendency to become extremely polluted and a tendency to have large amounts of population living in slums. Slums are places where there is no public utility, no health, no education, no sanitation and so on.
...16% of Gurgaon's population lives in slums like this one. If that seems like a lot to you, the shocker is that it's less than the average Indian city. There are 150 million fewer poor people in India since my last visit 13 years ago. That's half the population of the United States lifted out of the slums. India's achievements over the past decade are awe-inspiring. But as my own country turns its back on the same global markets that transformed a rocky patch of farmland into a metropolis of 2 million souls, I can only hope that Gurgaon has many years of hypergrowth yet to come.